Say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf. Oh, thank you. The shiur this morning is sponsored by Alan and Sue Meyerowitz for the yahrzeit of Sue's father and Nathaniel funeral. Nosson ben Yitzchok Halivi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama has an aliyah. So we'll say today's daf is daf dalet. We're going to pick up again on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara was speaking about the benefits of rain. So we left off four lines up from the bottom. Amar Rava, well, it's actually five lines up from the bottom. Last two words online. Amar Rava, ma'ali tigla l'turi kechamisha mitri la'ara. Snowfall on top of a mountain is as beneficial as five rainfalls to land. Shene emar, because he quotes over here the pasuk. Quotes over here the pasuk from Iov. Ki l'sheleg yomar havei eretz, v'geshem matar, v'geshem mitros uzo. So literally it says to the snow that falls in the mountains will say to the land. And here in this pasuk, there are five different mentions of rain. So from here you see again that snowfall for the mountain is as impactful as five regular rainfalls on the earth. V'amarava, tigla l'turi, snow is beneficial for mountains. Mitra razio li'ilani, heavy rain is good for trees. Mitra necha lepiri, soft rain is good for fruit, top of dalit. Or pila, afilu le partsida de tuse kala. And orpila, Rashi says, gishamim dakim kachshman. So orpila means very light rain is even beneficial to a seed that is underneath a clod of earth. Meaning that even though a seed may be underneath the clod of earth, and again, it might be hard to penetrate that, the soft rain has the ability to penetrate even the thick clod of earth. But Amarava, so Rava says a beautiful statement, haitzura mirabanan dami lepartsida de tuse kala. Atam tchacham. Now, tzura mirabanan refers dafka to a young Talmud Chacham. Rashi says, "Ritzumir Rabbanon, Bacher Chorif," refers to a young individual who is sharp. Who's sharp? So what that means is not necessarily that a person has amassed a voluminous amount of knowledge, because they might still be young. But the idea is that the person demonstrates an incredible sharpness. So a young Talmud Chacham, dami lepartida de tusi kala, can be compared to a seed underneath a cloud of earth. Why? Kevan denavat navat. Because once he begins to sprout, he begins to sprout. Look at Rashi. Kevan denavat navat. Once the seed begins to sprout and to shoot upwards, ole lemalakach tamid chacham kevan sheyatzah shmo holech v'gadol lemalah. So to a tamid chacham, as soon as his name becomes known, he continues to grow in prominence. Va'amar Rava. Rava says, "Haitzur mirabanan." This young tamid chacham is actually very interesting. Derasach. If he gets angry, just know, oraiso hu de kamaras chalei. No, it is the Torah that is inside of him that is causing him to get angry. What does that mean? Shene emar, because the pasuk says, halo kol dvarai keish nu'um Hashem. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, or Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, halo kol dvari, see my words keish are like a fire. Now, what does this mean? Rashi here has a beautiful insight. Rashi says, so what does it mean? Talmud Chacham gets angry. It's the Torah in him that's causing the anger. Look at Rashi says, Oraisa miraschalei. He says, Sheyesh lo rochav lev. Because a Talmud Chacham has rochav lev. Rochav lev literally means expansiveness of heart. What does that mean, expansiveness of heart? You know, we'll say to become a Talmud Chacham. You know, we know definition of a Talmud Chacham is not just simply someone who knows a lot of Torah. You could be you can know a lot of Torah and be an absolute ignoramus. And on the other hand, again, you could go ahead. So the idea of a Talmud Chacham is someone who devotes themselves in totality to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't have to be a person who's learning in Kollel. Doesn't have to be a person, ultimately, again, who does nothing else but learn Torah. But it's a person whose entire, his gestalt, his entire essence is about Avodas Hashem. What Rashi's saying over here is, Sheyesh lo rochav lev. He has expanse in his heart, meaning what? He becomes emotional about it. For a person to become a real Talmud Chacham, you can't just treat Torah as a, you know, I remember one of the first Musar Shmuzin I heard when I was in yeshiva was that, you know, people, they like to learn Torah. So I'm going to come home, I'm going to put my feet up, I'm going to have a can of Coke, and I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham. That's not how you become a Talmud Chacham. If your feet are up on the couch and you're drinking a can of Coke, that might be a leisurely activity. It's a nice way to spend your time. That's not the way you become a Talmud Chacham. The way you become a Talmud Chacham is by investing yourself, by becoming emotionally vested in Torah, by taking it on as a life project, by recognizing Ana Ovda de Kud Shabichu, I am a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My emotions are vested in this entire Torah process. So that emotional investment creates a certain emotional expansiveness. Emotional people, sometimes emotions run a little bit high, and sometimes emotions run away with you. So Rashi says over here, and maybe he's a little bit more emotional. He applies his heart more than other people, which means that he could be a little bit more emotional. So interestingly enough, the Gemara is not excusing if a Talmid Chacham gets angry. The Gemara is not saying that if a Talmid Chacham gets angry, you know, give him a pass. No, if a Talmid Chacham gets angry, that could be a serious infraction. Look what Rashi says. V'kamash malan dechayvinon laduno lekaf zechus. You should judge him favorably and recognize that if he does get a little bit emotional or he does get a little bit upset, just understand that might be the byproduct of being so emotionally vested in Torah. But Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Kol Talmid Chacham shenu kashe kebarzel, eno Talmid Chacham. This is also very interesting. Ravashi says, any Talmid Chacham that is not as tough as iron is not a Talmid Chacham. Shenet Rashi says over here, Barzel, Kapdonim v'kashim kabarzel. Well, said it's a very interesting. Well, let's read the pasuk. Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says, "Ukepate shifutzas sela," like a hammer that will go ahead and shatter the stone. Well, so what Ravashi is saying is, you know, we know that in Judaism, of course, one of our most important values is shalom. Shalom, peace. But you know, sometimes people hide behind shalom as a way of not having to take a stand. That sometimes if I become a pursuer of peace, it means I don't really have to stand up for anything. And even if I see someone else doing something wrong, it's okay, I'm not going to say anything or do anything. Shalom. So there's a place for shalom, but there's also a place for taking dramatic stands in life. A Talmid Chacham has to know what to stand up for. And if he sees something that's correct, and he sees something that he has to be able to stand up, and he has to be kashe kabarzel, absolutely uncompromising, loving, embracing, inclusive, but absolutely uncompromising in the stance he takes for Torah. Armoli Rabbi Abba Ravashi. Rabbi Abba said to Ravashi, Asun mehasam mas nisula, anan mehacha mas inala. You learned it from there. We learn it from here. Dichsev, because the pasuk says, Eretz asher avaneha barzel. In Eretz Yisrael, we learned it the following way. It is a land whose stones are literally barzel, tough as iron. Al tikri avaneha ela boneha. Don't read the word as avaneha, it's stones rather. Eretz asher boneha barzel. A land in which its builders, a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, are as tough as stones. Amar Avina, we'll say, look how this Gemara ends. So remember, what the Gemara is saying over here, we'll say, this is very important. It's an important yisod for us also, that, you know, we live in a society that is very live and let live in its approach. And the truth is, there are milas to that, about accepting people where they are, but at the same time, sometimes it erodes our sense of MS. You have to know what truth is, you have to know what correctness is, not political correctness, but correctness is, and you have to be willing to stand up for that which is right. Whether it makes you popular or less popular is irrelevant, but you have to know where to draw your line in the sand. And yet, look how it ends. Amar Avina, afilu hachi mi bayli le'inish le'melef nafshe b'nichusa. Rava says, this is interesting postscript. But Ravina says, you still have to conduct yourself in a nice way. Meaning, there are ways to take a stand, and there are ways to draw your line in the sand without being abrasive. It's a very fine dance. Stand up for what you believe, be uncompromising in your beliefs, but at the end of the day, also know how to conduct yourself with incredible poise and kindness. Binichusa means like a gentility. Shene emar, vahaser ka'as milibecha. Shlomo Melech writes, remove the anger from your heart. Amra Shlomo Nachmani, Amra Bionasam. Shlomo Nachmani is sitting in Rabbi Yonasan. Shlosha shalu shlo kehogem. Three people asked inappropriately. Lishnaim heshivu, kehogem. Two of them, God responded favorably. Le'echad hoshivu shalo gogen. God responded unfavorably. Ve'eluhin, these are the three. Eliezer, Evan Avram. Eliezer, the servant of Avram Avinu. Shaul ben Kish. Shaul ben Kish, who was, remember, the first king over the Jewish people. Ve'yiftach ha'giladi. And Yiftach, remember again, Yiftach was one of the shoftim, one of the judges of the Jewish people. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of them. Eliezer, Eved Avram. How did Eliezer ask inappropriately? Dichsiv, because what did Eliezer say? V'hayoha na'ara asher omar eleha hatina kadech. Remember, in Parshas Chayisara, Eliezer makes a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says like this, Avram Avinu dispatched him to find a wife for Yitzchak. And what does Eliezer say? I'm going to approach a girl, and I'm going to go ahead and ask her for a drink. Not out for a drink. I'm going to ask her, right? I'm going to ask... It's a little Sunday morning humor. All right, so now, it's a tough crowd. Okay, so now, I'm going to ask her for a drink. And if she offers to give me a drink and also to water my flock of camels, Hi-Aisha, that's the girl that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen for Yitzchak Avinu. So the Gemara says, Yachala filu chigeres, yachala filu suma. What if she was crippled? What if she was blind? Now what the Gemara means to say is, you're hinging everything on this one request. What about the whole package? What about the whole package? I mean, how do you know any... Chigeres and Suma is just descriptive of the fact that you don't know anything about this girl by asking her this simple one question. But yet, Heshivu Kahogem. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded favorably, V'nizdamna lo Rivka. And sure enough, who was the first girl that Eliezer met at the well? The woman that would become known as Rivka Imenu. Shaul ben Kish. Shaul also asked inappropriately, Dichsiv, V'hayoha ish asher yakenu, Ya'ashrenu hamelech osher gadol, the man who will smite him. This is reference to who? To Goliath. Remember, this is when Goliath, who was the mightiest warrior of the Plishtim, the Philistines, was taunting the Jewish army. Every single time, you know, the Gemara points out that Goliath used to get up early in the morning when the Jews would be davening. And he would taunt the Jews. He'd say, go daven to your God, he's not going to help you. And what happened? The people were scared. They were totally scared. So the king says, whoever's brave enough to go out and face Goliath and kills Goliath, I will reward him with incredible riches. Ve'ezbito yitein lo. And I will even give my daughter in marriage to this man. So the Gemara says, what an inappropriate offer. Yochal afilu eved, yochal afilu mamzer. Right? Let's say it would have been an eved, let's say it would have been a slave who would have killed Goliath, or it would have been a mamzer who would have killed Goliath. Then what? And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heshivu, heshivu kehogem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him appropriately, v'nizdamin lo David. And sure enough, who was the one who ultimately slew Goliath? Was none other than David. Yiftach ha-giladi, what did Yiftach do wrong? Dichsiv, Rabbi say, when Yiftach went out to war against the Plishtim, he made a neder. And what was the neder? V'haya hayotzei asher yetzei midalse beisi. The first thing that comes out of my home, when I go ahead and come back from war, I will offer that as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what happened? So why is that inappropriate? Yochal afilu dover tamei. Because it could have been what? It could have been a pig. It could have been something else that came out. It could have been a non-kosher animal that came out. Now again, because Yiftach went ahead and spoke inappropriately, heshivu shelo kogin. God responded inappropriately to him as well. V'nizdam nolo bito. And sure enough, what was the first thing that came out of Yiftach's home when he came home from war? His daughter, Vahinu Dikamar Luhu Navi Li Yisrael, and remember again, there's a big machlokas in Mepharshim exactly what Yiftach did. Did Yiftach actually slaughter his daughter, or did Yiftach simply lock her away, you know, in somewhere, because again, ultimately she was like a sacrificial item that was consecrated. Either way, he did a horribly wrong thing to his daughter. So the Gemara says, Vahinu Dikamar Luhu Navi Li Yisrael, this is what the Navi says to the Jewish people, Hatsari Ein Begilad. In Rofe in Sham, is there no tsari? Is like an ointment, like a therapeutic, a medicinal ointment. Is there no medicinal ointment in Gilad? Is there no doctor there? Meaning, I will say what the Navi was saying. The Navi was lamenting the fact that we'll see this in just a moment. Yiftach had a remedy to his circumstance. Uksiv asher lo tzivesi. Look at, before we go on, look at Tosos for just a moment. V'hainu dika'amar luhu navi li Yisrael hatsari in begilad im rofe in sham. What does it mean when the Navi says that was there no remedy to Yiftach's situation? Kilomar lahatir nidro li Yiftach v'ha'havi lepinchas. See, there was a very simple out for Yiftach. What was the simple out? He could have annulled his vow, right? Meaning that Yiftach could have very easily gone to the prophet, to Pinchas, and could have said, Pinchas, listen, I made a big mistake. Again, without getting into the laws of the technicalities of revocation or annulment of vows, those are two different processes, but the point is, Yiftach could have gotten out of his vow. God would have never wanted him to offer up his daughter or to cause his daughter to live a life of isolation. He would have never wanted that. So he could have gone to Pinchas. Pinchas was the Navi. Va'amaylo halach Yiftach, listen to this estosis. So why didn't Yiftach go? Why didn't Yiftach go to the prophet to Pinchas? So I'm sorry. Va'amaylo halach Yiftach ezol ha'hatu nidro ela mitoch gasus ruach. Yiftach didn't go. You know why? Out of arrogance. Amarlo elech etzlo shani shofet v'nagid ela yova elai. So what did Yiftach say? Yiftach said, "I am the shofet. I'm the judge. I shouldn't have to go to the prophet. Let the prophet come to me." Or Pinchas Amar, and Pinchas was the prophet, said, "Le say gaboy da ananavi." So what happened? Pinchas said, "I'm not going to the shofet. Let the shofet come to me." Va'al yidei tehei ptura shayisi shora umatir haneder upolter osa. The Navi says, listen, if Yiftach is so concerned about his daughter, let him travel to me. And we'll say, such an amazing story. An amazing story of incredible hubris and arrogance on the part of Yiftach, who was the Shofet, and on the part of Pinchas, who was the Navi. Ulubasof, Ne'enshu, Shneim. At the end, both were punished. Yiftach, Ne'enshu. Yiftach Ne'enash, Shenaflo Ivarav Kodemisa. But say Yiftach was punished that before he died, his limbs fell off his body. Kedichsiv Vaikaver Ba'are Gilad, because it says that Yiftach was buried in the villages of Gilad, cities of Gilad, plural. Upinchas Ne'enash Dechsiv Lifnim Hayash Shemimo. And Pinchas was punished, and that the spirit of God left him. He'll say a tragic story tells you, remember, some of the most tragic episodes throughout life occur because of people's arrogance and hubris. And here again, they both were affected, but more importantly, this young innocent girl was condemned to a life, was either condemned to death, or was condemned to a life of solitude because of the arrogance and hubris of her father and of the prophet. So the Gemara goes on, Uksiv, the Pasuk says, Asher lo tzivei sivelo dibarti velo al sa'alibi. So remember, the Gemara is over here is quoting the Pasuk from Shmuel, where the Navi says, I never commanded this, I never spoke about this, and this never occurred, this never came upon my heart. The Gemara in the sense, this refers to three different episodes. Asher lo tzivei, say, I never commanded. Zebino shal Mesha melech Moav. This refers to the episode of the firstborn son of Mesha, the king of Moav. He'll say, Mesha, the king of Moav, wanted to go ahead and do tshuva. He wanted to come close to the God of Israel. So what did he do? Shnei Emar, Vayikach es bino habachar, asher yimloch tachtav. He took his firstborn son, the one who would ultimately reign in his stead, Vaya'aleu ola, and he offered it up. He offered him up as a burnt offering. Mesha melech Moav thought he was doing something nice for the God of the Jewish people, because remember again, by the nations of the world, human sacrifice was a big to-do. So he thought he was doing something, he was trying to actually give something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Tzvesi, what are you doing? I never commanded, never asked for anything like this. Velo Dibarti, I never spoke anything like this. Ze Yiftach, this refers to what Yiftach did to his daughter. God makes it very clear, I never wanted this. Velo Alsa Ali, we listen to this, and it never even dawned on my heart to actually have this happen. What does this refer to? Ze Yitzchak ben Avram. This refers to the Akedah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I just want to make it clear, it wasn't his son, it was a test, but my intention was never to have Yitzchak offered up. Of course, Avraham Avinu doesn't know that at the time. After the fact, Ribbono Shel Olam tells us this. The Gemara goes weiter. Af Knesset Yisrael Shalok Shel Gehogen, even the Jewish people asked inappropriately, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hishiva Kehogen, but God responded appropriately. Shene Emar, listen to how beautiful this is. V'Neida Nirdefal Adas Es Hashem, we have a desire to go ahead and know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishachar Nocho Motzo'o, like a dawn that is found by those who encounter it, V'Yavo Kegeshem Lanu, let God be to us like the rainfall. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Kalal Yisrael, Biti, my daughter, at sho'eles davar shepamim mispakish, upam einu mispakish, you want me to be like the rainfall. The problem with that is what? If I'm like the rainfall, rain sometimes comes, and sometimes it doesn't come. Aval ani ehyeh lecha, listen to how beautiful this is. God says to us, I will be to you, ani ehyeh lecha, davar hamispakish la'olam. I will be for you like something that is always found, something that never departs, something that is never withheld. Shene emar, ehye kital liyisra. So beautiful. It goes back to yesterday's daf. Like, you don't have to daven for the dew. Why? Because dew is never withheld. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klai, so I'm not going to be like rain to you, because rain sometimes comes, sometimes it doesn't come. I'm going to be like the dew, and the dew is never withheld from Klai Yisrael. Va'od, she'ila shelo kehogen. Furthermore, Klal Yisrael asked another inappropriate request from God, meaning inappropriate, and I say inappropriate means flawed request. Why? What did they ask? Amar the father of Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quoting the Pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Pasuk says, Simeni kechosem alibech. Make me like a seal on your heart. This is us talking to God. Make us like a seal on your heart. Kechosem alzroech, like a seal on your arms. So what we are asking is to be emblazoned on the divine heart. Make me like a seal on your heart. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Biti, my daughter, at sho'eles davar shepamim nira, upamim eno nira. You know, my children, you're asking to be emblazoned on my heart, emblazoned on my arm. You know what the problem is? Sometimes you could see the heart, right? But sometimes you can't see the heart. When a person is clothed, you can't go ahead and see the heart of the individual. Same thing with the arms. Sometimes sometimes you could see the arms, and sometimes ultimately again when the sleeve is pulled up, you can't go ahead and see the arms. Shina emar, however, aval ani eselecha davar shnir li olam. I will be for you like something that is seen forever. Shina emar, hein al kapayim chakoseich. Chadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, I will engrave you where? I will engrave you on my palms. So the palms, of course, are something that are always visible. Recognize that Chadosh Baruch Hu's love for us will always be apparent and always be visible. The Gemara goes weiter. Ein sholin esagi shamim. So remember again, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, Ein sholin esagi shamim. Ein sholin esagi shamim. So the Mishnah says we only ask for the rain close to the rainy season. Meaning there's no point in asking for rain before when we ask close to the rainy season. Says the Gemara, Savruha She'ila v'haskara chadam nelsihim. So both say, remember again, we spoke about this when we started the Masechta on Friday, that the Lashon uses the Lashon of maskirin and she'ila. So it appears that the Gemara is, now maskirin just means mentioning, she'ila means request. Now the Gemara makes, the way the Mishnah uses these terminologies is that it's using them interchangeably. So the Gemara says, savrua, she'ila v'haskara chadam ilsi, that both she'ila request and haskara mean the same thing. They mean what? That's what it seems to be referring to over here. So the Gemara says, man tana, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yoshua, he reflects upon Rabbi Yoshua, dar mishas hanachaso, because Rabbi Yoshua is the one who says that when do we begin to go out and recite Mashiach Amir Agesh Rabbosai? At the time when you put down the lulav, which is when? Look at the last Rashi. Rashi says Rabbi Yoshua, he, last Rashi, and after Amar, mishas hanachas lulav hu maskir, dahenu yom shmini, vizeu shmini legishamim, deminachag ve'elach huzman gishamim. So both say this would reflect the view of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua holds that Lamaisi, you go and you begin to recite Mashiach Amir Hageshem on the eighth day, which would be close to the time that you want to go ahead and, which is really the exact time that you want the rainy season to begin. So the Gemara says, you could even say it's Rabbi Eliezer. Now remember, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah said, when do you begin to say Mashiach Amir Hageshem? On the first day. On the first day. So the Gemara is suggesting that the statement in the Mishnah that says that we only begin to ask for rain, samuch l'gishamim, is still in line with Rabbi Eliezer. How so? To which the Gemara says, very simple, she'ela l'chud, v'haskar l'chud. Rabbi said there are two different things. There's something called a mentioning of the rain, which is mashivroch amir ageshem, and that you could begin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, even on the first day of Sukkot. But when it comes to the actual request for the rain, the Saint Talumat or Livracha, that only occurs when? Close to the actual rainy season. The Ikadamri, others explain. Lema, there's another version of this. Lema Rabbi Yoshua, he. Say that the position echoed in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua, Dar Mishas Hanachaso, who says that you begin to say Mashiach Amir Hageshem from the time that you put down the lulav, i.e. day 8, Amarava, Rava says, Afil Tim Rabbi Eliezer, She'ila Luchud Vaskal Chosr. Well, it's just a different version of the previous conversation. Say, it could even be Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer makes a distinction between Mashiv Rach Mir Hageshem and Vesein Talim Matuliv Racha. Mashiv Rach Mir Hageshem begins first day of Sukkis, because Sukkis, technically speaking, is the beginning of the rainy season, but yet we don't lodge an actual request for the rain until the end of Sukkis, or after Sukkis, Shmini Atzeres, or for that matter, later on, as we'll see, because again, we actually don't want the rain until after Sukkis. Fine, says the Gemara.
So when the Mishnah says that, it's going according to
everyone. So now what the Gemara is saying is the Mishnah could go according to either statement. It could, meaning, it's clear that it goes according to Rabbi Yoshua, because then the beauty of according to Rabbi Yoshua is that maskirin, or I should say, sholin, is the same thing as maskirin. Sholin maskirin, mashiroch mer hageshem. But even if you want to say that sholin literally means sholin, request of a saint talmud libracha, it could still be Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer just says you begin mashiroch mer hageshem on the first day, but lamaisa you will not begin to request for rain until close to the rainy season. Oh, good, we're going to get to that. Excellent, excellent. This is why we're going to see, interestingly enough, that the request for rain is the one thing that's linked actually to the solar calendar. That's why the Saint Talumat Livracha begins, I mean, depending on the year, December 4th, December 5th, for exactly that reason. We're going to get into that, actually. So we'll see. I get paid the big bucks to go ahead and give you this information. All right, so Mirza Hashem, we're going to get to it. We're going to start it in today's daf. It's going to spill into tomorrow. So the Gemara says, "Fine, Rabbi Yehuda, over the fan table." So then again, remember, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Huda went ahead and gave over the following. He says, Ha'over lefnei ateva b'yom tova achron shalchag. In Rabbi Huda's model, so the Baal Shachris on Shmini Atzeres does not say Ma'as Shivruach Omri Dageshem, but again, the second, the Baal Musaf does. And on Pesach, the Baal Shachris on the first day of Yom Tov says Ma'as Shivruach Omri Dageshem, but the Baal Musaf does not. That's Rabbi Huda's model, which Rabbi says is what we do, is Lamaisa, is Halacha Lamaisa. So the Gemara says, or Minhu. But let's ask Akasha, Ad Masai Shol in Asag Yishamim, until when do we go ahead and request for rain? Meaning, until what time? I shouldn't say, right. Well, until when do we request for rain? Rabbi Huda says, Ad Sheyavor HaPesach. So Rabbi Huda says, until Pesach is over. Rabbi Meir says, Ad Sheyavor Nisan. No, in fact, you go ahead and what? You go ahead and say it until Nisan is over. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, if you look at Rashi says over here, Ad Sheyavor Pesach, De Amrinon B'Kol Cholo Shel Moed, the same Talu Matar. Now, the way the Gemara, the way Rashi is understanding this, is that what Rabbi Huda is saying is that we continue to say the same Talu Matar Livracha all the way through Chol HaMoed. Because in Chol HaMoed, remember, you're davening a chol Shmona Esrei with the Yalav Yavo insertion. So the Gemara says, so now, but here's what we have. We seem to have a contradiction. Because Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah says, when does Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem end? When does it end? First day Pesach by Shachris. Now we have a brisa that says that according to Rabbi Huda, when are you saying, now again, the interesting part is, remember, the lines are blurred now between Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem and the Saint Talamat Olivracha. They're a little bit blurred. So when are, according to Rabbi Huda, when are we still asking for rain? All the way through what? All the way through Pesach. So which one is it? In the Mishnah, he says until the first day of Pesach. In the Brisa, he's saying over here, through the entire Pesach. Amrav Chistar, Chis says, it's not a kasha. Kan lishol, kan lahaskir. It's two different things. Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah is talking about what? Is talking about a mentioning. Mentioning is called Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem. When does that extend to? That extends until the first day of Pesach. However, again, when do we say the same Talum Matar Livracha until? Through the entirety of Pesach, which essentially means through Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, the Gemara now spells this out. Mishal, which is Mikan Lishal, Kan Lahaskir. So the Gemara says, Mishal Sha'il Va'azil, Lahaskir B'yom Tavarishon Pasik. So what happens? So for when it comes to Mishal Sha'il Va'azil, we say the same Talum Matar Livracha throughout the entire Pesach. However, Lahaskir, Ma'ashiv Ruach Amir Lageshem, B'Yom Tov Rishon Pasuk. We stop that on the first day of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Amr Ula, Hadrav Chisti Kasha, Kechomet Lishinayim, Ukeashon Le'inayim. So Ula says, very interesting. So Ula says, so remember again, the way Rav Chista wants to reconcile the contradiction is that it's not a contradiction at all, but rather it refers to two different things. In the Mishnah, in our first Mishnah, Rabbi Huda is referring to what? Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem. And that's, when do you say Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem? Until? First day Pesach, when? Shachris. However, again, in the Brisa that he quoted over here, that says you say it through the entire Pesach, that's talking about what? The same Talmud, the Livracha, that is recited throughout the entirety of Chol HaMoed. So Ula says that makes no sense. And he says, actually, he's pretty stark here. He says, this is so bad, it actually hurts. That's a real Talmudic shtach, right? This is, what you said is so bad, it actually hurts. Like vinegar to the teeth, and like smoke to the eyes, it burns. Mamish, what you're saying actually hurts me. It bothers me. It hurts me. It's bitter. It's like eating vinegar. It's like smoke in the eyes. This is really getting dirty over here. So now the Gemara says, why? Well, now what's Ula's problem? Uma b'makom she'ina shoel maskir. Now, boss, here's what everybody agrees with. There's one thing everybody agrees with, which is what? Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGeshem begins before the same Talum Matar Livracha. That's clear, meaning that we're maskir, we make mention of the rain before we begin to what? Before we begin to ask for the rain. That's clear. So b'makom sheshoel, eino din shei maskir. So now, Rav Chista, what you're telling me is, it doesn't make sense, because again, if we begin mentioning the rain even before we begin asking, now what you're telling me is what? We actually stop mentioning it even before we stop asking. So there's a period of asking where we're not mentioning it. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? Mirabosa, you remember that if you're going to ask, if you're going to mention before asking, then certainly the mentioning should extend just as long as what? As the asking itself. And yet you're telling me that we're stopping Mashiach Murnageshem before the same time. Libracha. Ela Amar Ula. So therefore Ula says, I'm going to give you a much simpler idea. Trei Tanoi Libid Rabbi Huda. It's much simpler. It's much simpler. There are two different Tanoim. Rabosa, it's a machlokes what Rabbi Yehuda said. There are two different versions of the position of Rabbi Yehuda. There's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. There's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Look at Rashi. Trei Tanoi, Chad Amar Ad Sheyavar HaPesach Sholin, Kol Shekin Shemaskirin, V'chad Amar She'ela Ad Pesach, V'haskara Sheyachal HaHaske B'yom Tov, Maske B'yom Tov, Rishon Shal Pesach, B'tfilas Yotre Musaf and Posek. So we'll say there are two different Tanoim. There are two different opinions as to what the position of Rabbi Yehuda is. Right, one opinion says that you what? That you say the same Talamat Livracha through the entire Pesach, which by definition also means what? Also means what? Also means Mashivracha, Merid Hageshem. That of course, again, if you're asking for it, of course you're going to make mention. And the other Tana, which is the Tana of our Mishnah, says what? No, everything stops when Shachris of Pesach. Everything means what? The same Talamat Livracha as well, Mashivracha, Merid Hageshem. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar. My Achiavar Pastor, Rav Yosef says, one second, maybe we can reconcile the Shitos. Rav Yosef says, what does it mean when Rabbi Yehuda says that you go ahead and you ask for rain throughout the entire Pesach? So the Gemara says, Achiavar Shliach Tzibor Rishon, Hayor B'yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. So Rav Yosef tries to make a little bit of shalom between these two statements. And he says, no. What does it mean, Rabbi Yehuda says, that you ask for rain until Pesach is over? It doesn't mean the entirety of Pesach. What does it mean? It means the first shachris of Pesach is over. Okay, once the first shachris of Pesach is over, then again you stop saying Mashiv Racham Mer Hageshem, which would then put what? Put this price in absolute conformance with our Mishnah. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says, here's the problem. She'ela b'yom tov mi'ika. The problem is that the Brisa that the Gemara quotes is the following. The wording of the Brisa says, Ad masai sho'alin es hagishamim. Until when do we ask for rain? So now Abaye says, is there any asking for rain? So remember, Rav Yosef wanted to say that really what it means is, so Rav Yehuda says, we stop asking for rain until Pesach passes. And Rav Yosef wanted to say, what does it mean until Pesach passes? Until the first shachris of Pesach passes. To which Abaye says, I'll tell you what, that doesn't make sense. Because the verbiage is problematic. Why? Because do we ask for rain on Pesach? Meaning asking Rabbi Yosef means the same Talmud Livracha. Do we actively ask for rain on Pesach? And of course, the answer is no. The answer is no. They said to him, actually, we do. Shoel miturgimon. This is very interesting, Rabbi Yosef. We do have a request for rain on Pesach. Who requests rain on Pesach? The miturgimon. Rabbi Yosef, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Amrle in She'ela de Miturgimon. The Rebbe say the Turgimon was the translator, but remember, it was much more than just the translator. The Turgimon was the individual who, let's say, over the course of Tefillah, as well as over the course of laning, would actually not just give a translation, but would give an explanation. So Rashi says over here, Bedrasha Shudoresh Omar Birkas She'ela Levada. So apparently, again, interestingly enough, the Turgimon wouldn't just translate. I guess the Turgimon had a little bit of literary license as well. And what would he also put in there? He would also slide in there other needs of the community. So the Gemara says, so apparently what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that even on Pesach, so the Turgimon would go ahead and request rain. So the Gemara says, one second, V'chimi Turgimon shol dover shein tzarech letzibor, but does the Turgimon ask for something that the tzibor does not need? I will say, what does that mean? It's Pesach time. Once Pesach time comes, it's the end of the rainy season. We don't want rain anymore. So why would the Turgimon be asking for something that the tzibor does not require? So therefore the Gemara says, Ela mechavarta kidula. Therefore, it appears that the clearest and simplest approach to resolution of this conflict is how? Is Ula. What did Ula say? Trei Tanoi. There are two different opinions as to what the position of Rabbi Yehuda was. It's not a stira, it's not a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda's two positions. It's just simply a machlokis. According to our Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you recite Mashiach Merid Hageshem until the first day of Pesach. And the Tana of this particular Brisa says that you say it until the conclusion of Pesach. Okay, Rava Amar, Rava says, well, again, the Gemara is not content with that. The Gemara is still trying to find a way to resolve these issues. So Rava Amar, Rabba Amar, Rabbi says, "My achiyavor haPesach." What does it mean when Rabbi Huda said that you recite that you ask for rain until Pesach is over, or still until Pesach passes? Achiyavor. Listen to this. Achiyavor zman shchitas haPesach. Oh, what does it mean? It means that you go ahead and you ask for rain until the time that the shchita for Karban Pesach ends. I will say, when we shech the Karban Pesach, we're all experts on this. On the erev Pesach, beginning mincha time, chatzosin on, which is another way of saying what? That you'll recite Mashiach Rochem Rinagesh, or you'll recite Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem / V'sein Talmat Livracha, until when? For Shachris on Erev Pesach, but beginning mincha on Erev Pesach, you will not what? You will not recite Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem V'sein Talmat Livracha, and this is true into Pesach as well. And if that's the case, utchilaso. Now, Rabosai, again, the beginning and the end mirror one another. Ukitchilaso kein sofo. The beginning mirrors the end. Matchilaso maskir afapi she'eno shoel. Listen to this, Rabosai. Now the Gemara is suggesting, just like in the beginning, i.e. on Sukkis, we begin reciting Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem, even though what? We are not yet reciting Saint Talmud Livracha. Af sofo maskir afapi she'eno shoel. So to Rabosai, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is what? Is that Lamaisa, so on Mincha on Erev Pesach, you'll stop saying the same Talamat Livracha, but what? Apparently, you will still continue to say Mashiv Racha Merida Geshem until when? Until Musaf, meaning you'll say it through Shachris on the first day of Pesach, but come Musaf. So again, you're stopping the same Talamat Livracha on Erev Pesach. You'll continue to say Mashiv Racha Merida, You'll continue to say Mashiv Racha Merida Geshem on Pesach itself through Shachris, but come Musaf on Erev Pesach, you're good. Shalom Yisrael. So Rabbi said, we have just reconciled the two positions, we think. We've just reconciled the two positions of Rabbi Yehuda. That again, on Pesach, on Sukkis, you're going to begin to recite Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem according to Rabbi Yehuda when? On Shmini Atzeres. And you're going to begin to go ahead and say V'sein Talmud Livracha, we'll see, depending on where you live a little while after. And on the back end also, you're going to stop saying V'sein Talmud Livracha again when? On Erev Pesach. And you'll continue to say Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem through Shachris on the first day. Someone by Abai says, one second, that doesn't make any sense. Bishlama tchilasa maskir. I understand why on Sukkis, when you begin to recite Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem, so remember, you're saying that in advance of the rainy season. Why? Because haskara nama nami ritu she'elihi. Because they're both saying, Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem, as much as we try to say that it's not really a request, it's only a statement, but it is a quasi-request. Obviously, we're only saying it close to the rainy season as a beginning of way of lodging that petitional request for rain. Ela sofa, my ritzu is she'ileika. But it doesn't make sense. If you're stopping to say v'sein talamat livracha on Erev Pesach, because lemaisa, again, the rainy season is over, why would you continue to say mashiv rocha mroi dageshem into Pesach itself? If the rainy season is over, it's over. Why extend the quasi-request any time past the actual bona fide request? To which the Gemara says, Ella, so the Gemara keeps saying, Ella mechavarte kidu'ula. So once again, what do we keep saying? At the end of the day, okay, yes, we're desperate to try to reconcile these shitos, but the more and more we think about it, it seems to be clear that what? That there's no reconciliation. There's just simply a difference of opinion as to what Rabbi Huda actually held. Amr Abasi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Huda. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda, which means what Rabbi Yochanan say again. So now we've given up on trying to reconcile the Brice and the Mishnah. Instead, what we say the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. What does that mean? That again, that on Shmini Atzeres, Rabbi Yochanan say what? So the Baal Shachris does not say Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem. The Baal Musaf does. The Baal Musaf does. However, on the first day of Pesach, the Baal Shachris does, and the Baal Musaf does not. That is how we pass in halacha l'maisa. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that indeed is who the halacha follows. Amar Rabbi Zila Ravasi. So Rabbi Zila Ravasi said to Ravasi, "Me Rabbi Yochanan hachid." Rabbi Yochanan really say that. V'hatzan, but we learned. Now again, remember, I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachid. This is in the wide lines of Rashi, 2, 4, 6 lines down. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachid. The halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda demaskir biyom tov ha'achrom. That the Rabbi Yochanan really say that we begin to say Mashiach Rochem Rinageshem on the last day of Sukkis or Ashtei on Shmini Atzeres. But we learn b'shloshav Mar Cheshvan on the third of Mar Cheshvan shoalen es hagishamim. We begin to ask for rain. Rabbi Gamliel says b'shivabo. Rabbi Gamliel says no. We begin to ask for rain when on the seventh of Mar Cheshvan. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "B'shlosha mar cheshvan hachikim lohu dahavas mangisham." This is what we assume is the beginning of the rainy season. The beginning of the rainy season. And what happens? V'am Rabbi Lazar halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Lazar said that halacha v'Lazar Gamliel, that we begin to say, that we begin to go ahead and ask for rain when on the 7th of mar cheshvan. So Rabbi said, the Gemara sees this as a kasha. Now, why is this a kasha? Rabbi said, interestingly enough, what we assume is like this. If the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, and indeed you are what? And indeed you are beginning to go ahead and ask for rain. On when? On the seventh day, on the eighth day of Sukkis, we automatically assume that when does the insertion for the same Talamata Livracha actually begin as well? Right? So we would assume it would apply probably Isru Chag. That's what we would assume it applied. Because again, we were assuming Mashiach Mir Hageshem is just the precursor for the same Talumato Livracha. And yet, what do we see? That the actual request for rain does not occur until when? Until the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, sometime later. So this seems to be a contradiction. Now again, we would assume that according to this opinion, when would Mashiach Mir Hageshem begin? Bepashtos, at the same time, the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, this contradicts Rabbi Huda, or I should say, this contradicts Rabbi Gamliel, this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. To which the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. Armele gavra agavra karamis. So it's not a contradiction of Osai. What is it? It's a difference of opinions. Meaning, you know, if Rabbi Yochanan said two different things, that's a contradiction. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha follows Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Gamliel holds, that's not a contradiction. That's just two different opinions. So you could say, first of all, it's not a contradiction. Kan lishol kan lahaskir. They're talking about two different things. Again, so they keep coming back to this. As much as the Mishnah blurred the lines, we are now unblurring or clarifying the lines. We're separating. When we said that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, what is the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda for? For mashiv haruach umorit hageshem. What is halacha mashiv haruach umorit hageshem? You begin it again on Musaf on Shmini Atzeres and end it with Shachris on Pesach. But the halacha, but again, that's mashiv haruach umorit hageshem. Then there's a separate set of halachos for what? For the same talumat livracha. And Rabbi Elazar is coming to say the halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel, that when do we begin to say the same talumat livracha? On the 7th of Cheshvan. On the 7th of Cheshvan, that is the beginning of the same Talmud Livracha. I, B'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, B'makom Sheshoa Maskir. But one second. But Rabbi Yochanan said that wherever we ask, wherever we say the same Talmud Livracha, that's also where what? Where we say Mashiv Racha Merid Hageshem as well. To which the Gemara says, Ah, Hahu Lahafsaka Itmar. They both say that was said only in the realm of what? Of when you stop it. Look at Rashi, lahafsaka itmar. Rashi says, dechishu mafsik l'sheila be'erev Pesach, posek nami lahaskara, dahachi mashma b'makom sheshua maskir. So we'll say the answer to that is, no, that only works on the back end. When we stop saying the same talumat livracha, i.e. when, on Erev Pesach, that is when we stop to say mashivaruach umori dageshem as well. Obviously, we'll have to reconcile the fact that we still recite it onto Pesach itself. We'll get to that. Itmar. So Gemara raises a point. V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan hischil lahaskir maschil lishol pasuk milishol posek milahaskir. B'yet Rabbi Yochanan himself said that Rabbosai what? When you begin to make mention, that's when you begin to ask. And when you stop to ask, that's when what? You stop to make mention. Which Rabbi said, what is Rabbi Yochanan essentially doing? He's linking Mashiv Racha Merid Hageshem to what? To the same Talmud Livracha. Which then again poses a problem because Rabbi Yehuda is saying, now again, and that's the same Rabbi Yochanan who said what? That we begin to say Mashiv Racha Merid Hageshem when? Shmini Atzeres. But yet, we only begin to say the same Talmud Livracha when, Rabbi Osai? On the 7th of Cheshvan. So they wish the Gemara says, Elo Kasha, Halon Halahu. Now, both say again, the truth is, there are two different standards of practice, one for Eretz Yisrael and one for Bavel. Rashi says over here, Halon Vahalahu. Rashi says, Lebnei Bavel, Sheyesh Lanu Tvua Uperos Besada Kol Tishrei. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, for the people of Bavel who have grain and fruit in the fields, all of Tishrei, Ein maskirin at shiva b'marcheshvan. V'sham shalin ki de'am Rabbi Yochanan. Maschil lahaskir, maschil lishal. So we'll say, apparently again in Babel, they only begin to both go ahead and what? They only begin to go ahead and ask or say or remember and ask in the seventh of Cheshvan. Why in the seventh of Cheshvan? Because apparently in the agricultural cycle, there's crops in the field in Bava longer, and therefore they push off the request for rain. Vahaluhu, Rashi says, Vahaluhu, Libne Eretz Yisrael, the Kotrim Benisan, Vaosim Betishrei, Maskir Biyomtova Acharon Krabi Yehuda, Dam Ravasi Alach Kamoso. So what's the Gemara suggesting over here is like this, that in Eretz Yisrael, where again the crops, the produce is out of the field already in Tishrei, it's already out, so when do they begin to ask for rain? And begin, so when do they begin to say Mashiach Merid Hageshem, as well as Saint Tamat Libracha, starting when? Shmini Atzeres. In Bavel, where there is still produce in the field even later on, we don't want to ask on Shmini Atzeres, because you still have produce in the field. When do they begin to request? And when do they begin to ask? When? Seventh of Mar Cheshvan. So the Gemara says, Maishna Lididan, why is it different for us that we begin to ask, meaning for us in Bavel, that we begin to ask later? Maishna Lididan, the Islam Peri, because we still have produce in the field, Bedabra in the fields. Lidido, but in Eretz Yisrael, Nami Islu Oli Regalim. There's another reason to push off the request for rain, which is why, allow people time to get home. Remember again, Sukkot, everyone's Ole Regel. You have to give people time to get home, and therefore we don't want them to get, they get stopped, to get caught in the rain. I will say, now why don't you want people to get caught in the rain? Because remember again, you don't want people to have a reason not to come next year. If people get stuck in the rain and it's a grueling process to get home and they're delayed, it can chas v'shalom compromise Aliyah LeRegel in the future years. To which the Gemara answers, Kika Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sefer Abosa, using this logic, the model should be the same both for Bavel and the Eretz Yisrael. Everyone should start when? Should start when? Seventh of Cheshvan. Again, different reasons, but everyone should start the same way. Oh, okay. So when Rabbi Yochanan is talking already a time when what? Where there is no Beis HaMikdash. If there is no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, again, there's no Aliyah LeRegel. If there's no Aliyah LeRegel, there's no need to delay the request for rain. To which the Gemara says, Hashad the Asas Lahakim, now that you started this, Ha. The truth is, then you could say that actually it's not referring to Bavel at all. It's all referring to Eretz Yisrael. V'lo kasha, kan bizman sheyesh beis hamikdash kayim, kan bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim. That Rabbi Yossi, again, when the Gemara speaks about the idea that you begin, the mentioning and the recitation on Shmini Atzeres, that's when what? There is no Beis HaMikdash. When it says, and if you could start it earlier, when it says that you're waiting until after the 7th of Cheshvan, that's when there is a Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara stops over there. So Bosi, now the Gemara says, and we who have 2 days Yom Tov, what do we do? Now Bosi, what the Gemara is asking over here is, on Yom Tov Shini Shagolis Bashmini Atzeres, we have days 8 and 9. So which day do we begin to recite Mashi Baruch Morid Hageshem on? Which day do we begin? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Anan de Islan Treyome, Shne Yomim Tovim Achronim, Shmini Safik Shvi, Chi Safik Shmini, Rabbi Huda Darmi Yom Tov Achron, Be'ezman Maskir. So according to Rabbi Huda, we begin to say, Mashiach Amir Hageshem on the last day. Which day do we actually begin from? To which the Gemara says, Amarav Maschil B'Musafin, Uposek B'Mincha, Arvis V'Shachris, V'Chozer B'Musafin. So it's very interesting. So Rav says, you begin on Musaf on what we'll call the first day, what we call Shmini Atzeres, the first day of Shmini Atzeres, and then what? So you say it in Musaf, you stop. Don't say it in Mincha, don't say it in Mariv, don't say it in Shachris, and then what? Begin Musaf the next day, what we call Simchas Torah. Begin Musaf day. So essentially, to only say it on the Musaf of the 2 days. And of course, then once you say it on Musaf of what we call Simchas Torah, then what? Continue straightforward. Amrulahu Shmuel. Shmuel said, Puku va'amrulu la'aba. Go out and say to Abba, which was a deferential term to Rav, Acher sha'asisu kodesh ta'aseu chol. After you make something kodesh, are you going to go out and make it chol? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Once you start, you can't do it. Elo Amr Shmuel, rather Shmuel says, Maschil b'musafin uba mincha. You go ahead and you say it. You say, again, on day 8, what we call Shmini Atzeres chutz la'aretz, you say, Mashiach Omer Hageshem, in Musaf and in Mincha, Upostik arvis v'shachris, v'chozro maschil b'musafin. So Shmuel says, but you don't say it when? Ma'ariv and Shachris. I'm also like, now why can you get away with that? That's a different day. That's a different day. Meaning to go ahead and say it Musaf on Shemini Atzeres and not to say it Mincha, that's problematic because then you're attributing dual identities to the same day. But I could say it Musaf and Mincha on Shemini Atzeres. And then new day, I'm not saying it Shachris, excuse me, Ma'ariv and Shachris. And then Musaf of Simchas Torah, I'll start again. Top of Hey. Rava Amar Rava says, no, again, that makes no sense. Kevan Shehischel Shuv Ein Aposek. Once you started, you cannot stop. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshes, the Sotra Rav Sheshes said, Kevan Shehischel Shuv Ein Aposek. Once you started, you can't stop. V'af Rav Hadarbeyan. And at the end of the day, even Rav retracted his initial statement. Dam Rav Chanana Amar Rav. Because Rav Chananel said in the name of Rav, Mona Esrim Ve'echad Yom Kederach Shemona Asayim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. We count 21 days from the beginning of the year. In the same, right, from the beginning of the year, and that's Shemini Atzeres. That's Shemini Atzeres. In the same way that we count 10 days for Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, Umaschil, and we begin. V'chevan Shehischil, and once we begin to recite Mashiach Omer Hageshem, Ein Aposek, we do not stop. V'hilchasa, Kevan Shehischil, Shuv Ein Aposek. So Rabosai, Halacha Lemaisa, two major things come out. Number one, we adopt the position of Rabbi Yehuda, which means that we begin to say Mashiach Omer Hageshem when? On Musaf, on Shemini Atzeres, and that is true in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. And once we begin in Chutz La'aretz to say it on our Shemini Atzeres, we keep saying it through Mincha, through Ma'ariv, through Shachris, without stopping. No stoppage. The other important piece that comes out, we'll get to this later on and later on, Sugyas, is what? We, in fact, do make a distinction between the Haskara and the She'ela. The Haskara, Mashiach Mir Hageshem, begins again on Shemini Atzeres, the mentioning, even though what? Even though the actual request does not come until later on, until the beginning of, we'll see it, the rainy season, which we'll discuss how that's established. All right, we'll stop over here.
Guys, just a follow-up announcement, we are beginning next Sunday an additional Sunday morning minion at 7 o'clock in the base medrash. Clarification is, this is an additional minion, it's not instead.